Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, D-Aliens, and a happy Thirsty Thursday to you. This is Mraz, the executive producer of the DA Show, sidekick on the DA Show, heck, host of Side B on the PGP on the DA Show, and more importantly, you might be more stunned to a news that here I am, still pumping out the best of the DA Shows, and today, plenty more laughs, plenty more takes, and plenty more nonsense across the DA. Check it out here. Last week, it was a week ago today, we were finally getting ready to have team sports back, and we started with, before there was a Major League game being played, the beginning of Major League Baseball and the excitement. And we're going to do that similar kind of segment with the NBA. But the reason we don't start NBA here and we wait to do that a little while with that same segment is because baseball has started and we do have stuff to react to. And something major happened in Major League Baseball. Joe Kelly, after his incident, I guess 2 nights ago now, where he went high and tight, got out of the way with Carlos Correa, and then mouthed off with the tightening of the lip and all of that and mocking everybody as he moved off the field. Joe Kelly has gotten an 8-game suspension, but it is only a 60-game season. Fair, unfair, did Major League Baseball botch this? It's where we begin. Didn't Boccioni it. They botched it. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
The ball, obviously. Wasn't my best pitch. I mean, it's ball four, and walked him, and never good to put a guy on when you're leading the game. So some of that, you know, I wasn't feeling the greatest, wasn't the most comfortable. Took me a while to hone in my mechanics. I mean, I threw my curveball. I guess I didn't take too kind to it, a curveball. I mean, it is what it is. You know, walked a couple guys, was able to get out of any. Finally made one good pitch for the punch out, and you know, was able to keep the lead where it was at.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Joe Kelly talking about what exactly happened in this incident, and I hate that explanation from Joe Kelly. Look, own it. Own it. You can't deny it. You had the video in the offseason where you're basically breaking windows on your own instead of hitting the net. You have history of this, plunking Tyler Austin when he was a New York Yankee. Look, you're a guy who wants revenge, who's, when he's annoyed, is going to go after people with the unwritten rules of baseball. And if people don't like that and hate that, that's understandable. But then you also have to own it if you're going to do it. You don't dance around it. And Joe Kelly is not owning it there. Look, I want this on the record right now. A lot of people really bellyached, and I believe I'm going to use another big word here, bemoaned Joe Kelly. Whoa. Throwing high and tight, throwing a fastball at somebody's head. And yes, there shouldn't really be a place for that in baseball, but I'm also a hypocrite because I didn't have a problem with what Joe Kelly did. Look, the Houston Astros are getting off free here. Yes, A.J. Hinch is gone as their manager. Yes, Gerrit Cole left as a free agent. Heck, even Justin Verlander's hurt may be out for the year. You could say karmically, the Astros are in a much worse shape after their cheating scandal. But the truth is, all of those players got immunity on the Houston Astros as far as suspensions. They didn't face suspensions after cheating the game, after winning a World Series, cheating the game. Think about this. We won't let Pete Rose sniff the Hall of Fame because he gambled against his team. You have the Houston Astros cheating the integrity of the game. And no players got suspension. So what is that going to open yourself up to if you're Major League Baseball? Players, opponents taking matters into their own hands. They don't have to deal with fans heckling them this year. They were already cowering in spring, the original spring training when that was happening. So if Joe Kelly, even if he wasn't on that Dodger team, that doesn't bother me because he's a Major League Baseball player. And yes, I understand the irony. He was on another team that probably cheated as well, the Boston Red Sox. If he wants to take matters into his own hands and go high and tight and send a message that says, bleep you from the rest of Major League Baseball, I'm fine with it. But that also means that you should be okay with the fact that he did go high and tight at the head, and he absolutely deserves a big-time suspension for that. And I think 8 games is plenty warranted. Now, where people go crazy about is they go, well, 60-game season, 8 games is actually 22 games because of the 2.7 conversion rate. I believe I got that right. So it would take 8
you
times
did,
3
yeah.
to 24. The 2.7 gets you down to 22. And that's way too harsh. And I would say this. I know, for instance, I know all these suspensions are apples and oranges, and you don't want to compare them. Domingo Germán was supposed to be a big-time Yankee pitcher. He was an absolute jerk idiot that got into a domestic violence incident, and he was suspended 80 games. He was supposed to come back halfway through this Major League Baseball season. He's missing the entire year now for 60. They didn't turn around and prorate, for lack of a better term, his suspension. Same thing with a PED suspension. You get nabbed for 80 games, you're serving 80 games. The idea that this Major League season is lessened, so suspension should be lessened, is nonsense. In fact, the suspension should be upheld, especially when you're Joe Kelly, and you know the incident is going to cause benches to clear. Oh, by the way, we're supposed to be socially distant from each other while playing the game. That's another part of this. So, look, I don't have any issue with Joe Kelly throwing high at Carlos Correa, even if, yes, he could have hurt him, because ultimately I believe that if you're a quick enough baseball player, this happens all the time, you're going to duck out of the way, and it's meant to scare the you-know-what out of you. But ultimately, it is still dangerous, and I understand it's dangerous, so you deserve the suspension coming your way. I don't understand why more people can't look at it both ways and be pleased with Joe Kelly, but also accept the fact that this was absolutely the right thing for Major League Baseball to do, Bogish, is suspend Joe Kelly. Your thoughts?
Joe Kelly's 100% wrong, and the argument that he should just put a fastball in Alex Bregman's ribs or his butt is, that's the valid argument here. Throwing at somebody's head, even
Correa,
if you're...
I keep saying Correa. I'm sorry. He had the mimicking of Correa walking off the field. You're absolutely right.
It was both of them, and it was actually, and it was the Correa, facial gesture that really got everybody out of the dugout. It's like the Bregman, throwout started it, but that wasn't the direct impetus for everybody coming out of the dugout. Either way, if the rest of MLB wanted to get together and say, listen, the first 9 games of the season, we're just going down that lineup. I got the first guy. Tomorrow we get number two. And you want to drill every Astro you want in the first inning to start off every game to send some kind of message. I'm fine with that, too. I don't mind Joe Kelly throwing at Alex Bregman. It's 3-0. He's going to go to first base anyway. But there's a way to do this. And throwing at his head is not the way to do this. So, yes, Joe Kelly was wrong. Joe Kelly should be suspended for that. And even if you want to tack on some kind of surcharge because of the benches clearing aspect and we don't need brawls and fights this season in particular, I might argue ever. But if you want to extra punish him for that, I don't mind either. But I do think that this conversion rate argument is valid. And at least for me, I've always thought that there should have been some kind of conversion rate thing in play too, when players get suspended for stuff like that, on-field stuff, for playoff games too. Because playoff games matter, obviously, more than regular season games. So in the regular season, if the suspension would be 8 games, to me, in the playoffs, it should be 3 or 4. So I think I can apply that to now, because these games do... There's no two ways about it. These games mean more by themselves than they normally would. So whether you want to be specifically mathematically focused and go, this actually is 22 games, not 8, I think you can do that. Or just say 8 games in this season is a lot, and maybe it should only be 4, because 4 games without Joe Kelly is still a significant blow for the Dodgers in this season. So I think that he should be punished, but I think 8 games in this year is a little too much.
Well, hold on now, Bogish. And that's your number, 855-212-4227. Your number again is 855-212-4CBS. I understand what you're saying. Yes, the games matter more. But the players have to be aware of that before their actions. This wasn't an accidental thing by Joe Kelly. And you could say, well, Joe Kelly threw it, maybe only expected to be suspended 2 games, 3 games because of the lessened season. No. The punishment fits the crime here. And if you are going to say that there should be a conversion right, well, then how the heck are you going to police this thing in Major League Baseball in a 60-game season that is in place because we need to be socially distant, because of what we went through? If the suspension is 2 games, 3 games, that's nothing. That is nothing. And what is going to stop another player from going after another Houston Astro this year and saying, all I'm going to get is 2-3 games because it's a 60-game season? Of course I'm going to take that shot because I want my flesh of blood too. Joe Kelly was the first to do this in what is already the first week. Now we're just closing the first week of Major League Baseball season. If you give him a light punishment, it's open season on the Astros, and a lot of people might like that. But of course you could go ahead and plunk, because 2-3 games is nothing, and it may seem like it's more because it's a 60-game season. You have to send this message. There should not be a conversion rate. We have started Major League Baseball as if every team had the same record on July 26th, and that's the exact way this should be approached here. And if Joe Kelly wants to take that punishment because it's worth the flesh and blood, I think that's fine. But to argue like you are about the conversion rate, I understand your point. But then the Major League Baseball is opening themselves up to every team finding some pitcher that wants their flesh of blood in the Astros.
You mean a pound of flesh. But anyway. So
flesh of blood.
We can cross this bridge when we get there.
By the way, that's three mistakes 14 minutes in by me.
That's
because
okay.
I also started by forgetting it's Portland, Maine and Portland, Oregon. Now I wrote down Bangor, Maine and Bangor, Oregon. So I'm even going to own that.
Yeah, I don't know if I was on camera for that, but I did give a little like head tilt. Like, is there really a Bangor, Oregon? Or am I forgetting an inside joke from the show earlier that you thought there was a Bangor, Oregon too? Anyway, I understand your point about sending a message and not open season on the Astros, but I do think that Joe Kelly went about this the wrong way, throwing near at Alex Bregman the way that he did. If guys are going to play, every pitcher that hits an Astro, even if it's on purpose, they're not going to get an 8-game suspension. If the next guy puts a fastball in Carlos Correa's ribs, then I don't even know that he gets more than a game or two. So 8 still seems like a lot. And also, too, I should have said this at the beginning. What baseball has been doing recently, two things. This is 8 games, 10 games. This has become the norm for inciting extracurricular activities with a hit by pitch. So like there is precedent for this number of games,
right.
But they also too, they suspend you higher so that when it gets appealed down, it's still a number
right.
that they can deal with. So Joe Kelly is probably not going to miss 8 games here. Maybe it's only 5 or 6 on appeal. And now we're splitting hairs about how significant this suspension is. But I think that Joe Kelly is the exception here. So again, I'm okay with the heftier suspension, but I don't know how you don't factor in the shortened season. These games aren't the same value. They are more, it's like the NFL. I mean, an NFL suspension based on raw number of games looks the same, but if I say you're suspended for 8 NFL games, that's half the season. You have to use this percentage when you're coming up with these punishments.
Well, also, Bogus, I will just say this. No two plunkings are the same as well. And I know that kind of goes against what I was just saying for the pound of flesh argument with every player going on this. Joe Kelly's also getting 8 games because now he's a multiple-time offender. He had that incident with the Yankees when he was a member of the Red Sox where he hit Tyler Austin. He was suspended 6 games at the time. So now this is another offense, much like you would see in the NHL for a major violator or how suspensions would go up for PED uses and stuff like that. He's multiply now done this. Number two, as we've pointed out, and again, I'm saying I'm okay with it, but I'm also not okay with it. I'm okay with going after the Astros. I'm okay with a scare because ultimately I don't think that a player is going to get hit in the head even if you go high and tight. Maybe that's me being naive and stupid, and I shouldn't even be saying those words. But he did go high. He did go after somebody's head. That is different than going after plunking somebody in the old glute. So I think going high, being a multiple-time offender, and the fact that you're inciting something for benches to clear in a season where they don't, where there's rules against the benches clearing, you're causing that. That's 3 big strikes there to cause an 8-game suspension. And if you come at him with 3 games or even 4 games, to me that's an absolute slap on the wrist and only opens us up for more of this nonsense throughout the season.
Yeah, I don't know that it's guaranteed that if you gave him 3 or 4 games, which then in theory using my conversion rate takes you to 8 to 10 in reality, I don't know that the rest of baseball looks at that and goes, oh man, I can do whatever I want, so you better be ducking Jose Altuve. I don't know that baseball would have opened up Pandora's box with a lighter punishment that all of a sudden now guys are going to be throwing 96 past Astro earholes. I don't know that would be the case here, that's going to become the norm because they only got 2 or 3 or 4 games for Joe Kelly.
855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. Tweets at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish throughout the show. I tell you, Bogues, it's refreshing leading the show with reaction to something that happened into a game and a league reaction. Doesn't this feel good? Doesn't this feel good?
It feels good. It's also a little bit overwhelming. Like, I've gotten used to being able to watch, like, my garbage Bravo TV or Cooking Channel stuff at night because there are no games on. And now all of a sudden, there's things going on left and right. Like, I've gotten out of the habit. You know, we talk about guys getting back into game shape and where are they physically and keeping themselves ready to go. I didn't keep myself ready to go in terms of my multi-screen operation. And then we get to Saturday, man. And Saturday, we've got baseball, basketball, and hockey, plus soccer, all going on Saturday. I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle all this. I'm a little worried for my physical well-being that I'm not in mid-season form to be able to handle all of this coming our way.
More NFL news continues to happen as training camps begin, sort of. You have a lot of the testing in place, joining, weight training. We haven't really seen teams practice yet. But every day, and I think we have until, I think, August the 3rd, I could be wrong, for players to opt out. It's 7 days after everything's signed off, but then again, it may not be officially signed off yet. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so it is 7 days from when they finalize. It's called a side letter to the CBA that's specifically about this stuff. And as far as I know, and I certainly could be wrong, they hadn't technically signed that yet, so those 7 days hadn't even started yet. So I think August 7th or August 8th now is the next time that, or I guess August 7th makes more sense, will be the next deadline if things get done today, but I don't know that they will. So we're kind of in this rolling 7-day window for a deadline for these decisions.
So in the meantime, once that's officially signed, you're only going to have that next 7 days to, if you decide to opt out, to opt out. And yes, NFL players have begun to do so. We did that segment yesterday discussing all the New England Patriots who have opted out of the season, and I really think the New England Patriots are going to be terrible. I know Ian Rappaport says he'll believe it when he sees it. Well, I see it right now. That team stinks. Absolutely stinks. Look, Bill Belichick might be, as I pointed out, the greatest coach of all time. Everybody could have a dud every once in a while. There's only so much you could do with a roster that talentless. But Bogish, I don't know about you. I didn't necessarily expect big things from the New England Patriots this year. I expected this to be a regressing year. I was intrigued by Cam Newton being signed, and I guess to a lesser extent I still am. But I didn't expect big things out of that roster. But yesterday we see two more guys opt out. Giants left tackle Nate Solder, who obviously had his own bout with testicular cancer. His son has been battling cancer. Actually, it's the main reason, or one of the main reasons, he signed and left New England to come to the Giants was to be near some of these New York City hospitals for his son. And Chiefs running back Damian Williams opts out. Damian Williams would become really a staple of that Chief offense after the Kareem Hunt incident, to get him out of there. And now the Chiefs have lost a member of the starting offensive line and their starting running back. And for a Super Bowl champ, that's pretty serious business. But they still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Tyreek Hill. So that's kind of where I'm at here. Now, I didn't expect big things from the Giants. And at the same time, there's a lot of Giant fans will tell you it's probably a win that Nate Solder's opted out of the season because they drafted Andrew Thomas to play left tackle anyway. But names that you know and have heard of are starting to mount here, Bogish. It's not like it's a bunch of, you know, fringe special team guys that have opted out. I mean, Damian Williams is a guy who actually will affect many people's fantasy football season. Maybe you have him as a keeper or something like that. And yeah. I do think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I do think over the next 7 to 10 days, we're going to get news of a bigger name than even the names we've gotten, Hightower, Solder, Damian Williams. And I have to wonder, is there anybody outside of a quarterback, Bogish, at any position that you think you look and you go, wow, my thoughts on the NFL season have altered, whether that means you'd rather not watch the NFL or whether that means who you think would win divisions and all this other stuff. Do you think anything like that is coming where we see a mega superstar opt out?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if a real significant big name stayed home. But I don't know that outside of quarterback, it would really change my thought on that team that much. Like, because that to me is the significance of the position, how hard it is to replace. You know, if Russell Wilson stays home, the rest of the Seahawks roster doesn't matter to a certain extent.
True.
So, but even if you took, you know, if you took Khalil Mack or Myles Garrett, you know, you find your, or a shutdown corner, I mean, that's a significant blow. But I think those teams would find an easier way around those absences than losing your starting quarterback, especially if your quarterback is an elite guy like a Russell Wilson or Mahomes or whatever. To me, the bigger issue remains the number of guys on a team that stay home, like the Patriots. Because that, that level of replacement, or the number of replacements, then becomes too much to overcome. Now we're talking about multiple weakened positions as opposed to just one. So I think most teams shy of quarterbacks will be able to survive that one significant guy pulling out. But if you're running into a list now of 6, 8, 10 key contributors, guys who are going to start or play a lot of snaps, that's a lot of holes to fix for a GM in this current climate.
And I will say this, I credit any NFL player that chooses to opt out. I really do, because, look, we've been over this numerous times. I've been a big proponent of if everybody tells us it's safe to play and you feel safe as a player or an employee anywhere at any job that wants to come back, I think that's great. If you don't feel safe, I think that's great, too. I think that you should be able to make that decision in this country, no matter if you're a professional athlete or if you're, you know, checking out people to register at the Piggly Wiggly. I really do believe that, because there is still so much unknown. We have what we do know, and we have very much an unknown. So if these NFL players choose to do that, and there's still plenty of players to make sure we get a season off and everybody can collect on their TV money and guys want to make money, I think that's perfectly fine. And I'm totally accepting the sports world in 2020, where I'm thankful just to have the games. And if in the end, teams that I thought maybe should have won games or should have won titles or should have went deep in playoffs, it's altered because guys either test positive or opt out, I'm not going to throw any asterisks around. I'm just going to accept it for what it is. And if this happens, you know, if LeBron or Anthony Davis end up, you know, we don't wish this, testing positive for COVID, and the NBA keeps chugging and the Lakers get blasted in the first, second round because they don't have those guys, well, you know, so be it. And if in the NFL, if the Chiefs end up faltering and they could have been a 13-3 team and now they're a 9-7 team because they have enough guys opt out and they really miss Damian Williams, so be it. I'm not looking to throw around asterisks. I'm happy to have it, and I'm happy that guys have made their own decision, and I think I'm just accepting of it. I will say, though, if in the NFL, I think even more specifically than other sports, boy, you know, you are risking the whole Wally Pipp situation if you miss this year. Like, the Chiefs are a perfect example with Damian Williams. Damian Williams, the reason we know who he is because the Chiefs so easily replaced Kareem Hunt. If the Chiefs very easily replace Damian Williams here, and I believe they spent their first round there on the running back, and I forgot his name now.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU.
Oh, Claude, that's right. Okay. I mean, who's to say Damian Williams, when he comes back next year, is going to get the carries that he thought he would? Because at that point, a first-round pick's already been invested. We've seen him for a whole year. And the same thing, ironically, goes for Nate Solder. A first-round pick was invested on the future left tackle of the New York Giants. This might have been Nate Solder's last big year with the Giants anyway. So I do think these guys, and they're making the right choice for their family, but in the NFL, more than any other sport, if you opt out, there's a good chance that clock keeps turning and, you know, musical chairs happens, and there may not be a seat for you on that roster when you come back next year.
Yeah, and I think it's Damian Williams that is actually, this is the last year of his contract, so he would have been a free agent after this season. Now he's delaying that for a year, which means, too, like, if when he comes back for 2021 in a contract year, and the environment in KC for him is completely different. Now he loses the chance to maybe show off and get a big payday from them or from somewhere else. So, but that takes me back to what your original point was, in that these are huge decisions for these guys. I understand that they have, you know, the built-in kind of safety net that a lot of us and most of us don't have, in that they've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars waiting for them in these contracts. Because the way I misspoke earlier in the week, the way this works now is if you opt out, you opt out for a medical reason, like these guys mostly are, your contract gets paused. You get the year of service, but your contract is paused. It just doesn't exist basically for this year. It restarts for next year. So I originally had said that it kind of continues, but you don't get your money. It just becomes now, you just pick it up and you move it everything down a year. So these guys are making significant decisions that could change the course of their career, like you just laid out, which is why I'm never going to criticize somebody for not playing this year. Now, we've had some fun with guys, the way they've made their decisions and their announcements, and some guys may be hinting that, you know, it wasn't as serious a reason to stay home as others. You need to be careful that, you know, you're not sitting behind your PS4 going, I would prefer to play some FIFA for a while longer. Right. But I mean, if you're going to stay, but all these other guys who have legitimate reasons, newborn kids, compromised spouses, partners, parents, themselves, or just flat out fear of getting sick is also okay in my book too. But just don't forget as well that these are not willy-nilly decisions. There's significant football ramifications for all of these guys for staying home. So when they do it, I think we should show a little bit of respect.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think there's no place for after a guy opts out and these NFL go, ooh, you know, like I saw a lot of this because I follow a lot of Giants Twitter. You suck anyway, bro, to Nate Solder. Yeah, okay. Everybody knows that Nate Solder hasn't been a good New York Giant, but the guy just wrote a heartfelt statement to Giant fans explaining the problems with his kid having cancer and him being a cancer survivor. I don't think your first reaction to that during a pandemic should be, you suck, bro, we ain't going to miss you. Or, you know, going after Damian Williams, you're going to get replaced anyway, man. And I'm admitting that, yeah, these guys are probably going to get replaced and they may not have a place on their teams after the season is over, but have some freaking compassion, too. I mean, they are still human beings, and this is exactly where people get upset and go, they're not here for your entertainment. I mean, understand that this is still their job, and these are difficult decisions that people are making with their loved ones, just like you guys all and we all have had to make with our loved ones when the time came, whether, you know, we should be working from home or whatever was going on. Everybody's had to make some really tough calls the last 4.5 months, and these guys are no different. It's time for them to make calls and just look. There's going to be some interesting situations, and I'm sure we're going to get some more, and I'm sure people are going to get angry at certain players if they really like them for opting out, but just relax on them. Relax a little bit. These guys are human beings too, Bogus.
Yes, they are. And can I make a pre-request to all the TV networks? Assuming we have games and we chug along week to week, what's the sweet spot? What week can we outlaw the graphic that tells us the key players from these teams who are not playing this year? Because you know, like that, and that needs to be said every once in a while that, you know, the Bears don't have Eddie Goldman and Michael Pierce of the Vikings, Devin Funchess, but like at some point, everyone should know who's not playing this year. I don't want that graphic like bashed into our head in the first series of every game all the way through the postseason.
It can't. It's going to happen through September because you're not even getting preseason games. So that's when you're going to first get comfortable. So
sure.
I think that's natural. I think you need to pause on October, November. You will get it again back in December, again, assuming we've chugged along here, if you start getting teams that maybe had lesser seasons, coaches on the hot seat. Then you'll start getting, look at, or even teams that were awesome. Look at what they were able to accomplish, and they didn't have this one, this one, this one, and this one. Or, you know, look at this player that stepped up, and you know, Charles, you know, he wouldn't have gotten, I'm doing, I guess, a Burkhart to Charles Davis, even though he's at CBS now, so what the heck's going
on? It's
okay.
Yeah.
We, you know, he wouldn't have even gotten this opportunity if this, you know, we're going to get those storylines. I think you get a lot early, a lot late, but I'm with you, October, November. Kind of like the idea with the baseball announcers constantly showing us when they're in dark stadiums on the road or all this other stuff going on. I don't want the constant reminder. Let's just move along.
And, man, those baseball writers and announcers love to do that 2.7 conversion rate on games. I mean, they thought that they were like scientists over the weekend explaining it every chance they got. Right. Well, this year, 60 games, every game is really 2.7 games over a full season. So
by the way,
if you take 2 of 3, it's like taking 5 of 7.
By the way, bogus. And I think it was Jason Stark that came up with the number. Guys, we didn't exactly split the atom here. I'm not that good at math. You just divided the two, right? Like, what?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's going on here?
It wasn't hard to come up with.
No. I mean, anybody could have come up with it, including me. August is going to be here this weekend. Time is sitting still and moving too fast at the same exact time in 2020. But there's good news, Bogus. There's good news. We saw Major League Baseball return a week ago tonight. We're seeing the NHL return this weekend tonight. NBA restart, NBA basketball, and it was you and I, Bogus, sitting here again because DA was out when something big happened in the sports world. The night the NBA went dark, the night Rudy Gobert tested positive, the night in Oklahoma City we pulled everybody off the court, and the NBA season was halted. We have not seen, since that morning you and I hosted that show, another NBA game that counted before tonight. First of all, just before we get into the excitement level, that is unbelievable that much time has passed, and also unbelievable that it's only been that much time. I feel like everything has been a whirlwind since that night, Bogus.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense in either direction that it's been that long or this quick, and that the NBA, by the way, too, to their credit, You know, we've had the funny stories of Lou Williams. That was dangerous, though, and serious, too. We had Rashawn Holmes, right, of the Kings, wandering too far, I think also to get chicken wings. So those chicken wings seem to really be the evil around the NBA bubble. But aside from those near misses, I mean, the NBA keeps returning zero positive tests. No one has gone stir-crazy yet, knock on wood, inside the bubble. And now we have made it here to actual games today. So kudos to everyone involved, players, coaches, staff members, league, you know, court designers, everybody that has gotten this together and gotten us to the point where we can actually watch a game that matters. I think at what, 6:30 Eastern today is that first tip-off.
So let's just gauge the excitement level here, and I'm curious to get everybody's thoughts at 855-212-4227. Number again is 855-212-4CBS. Tweets at Andrew Bogus and at Mraz CBS. The NBA is back tonight with a doubleheader, and then we get the basically a full slate starting with some afternoon games and whatnot. I believe the Nets play tomorrow. There may even locally in New York be an appearance by my daughter on the Nets broadcast tomorrow, which we can get into.
Did you do Where Brooklyn At?
So, do you want to do this before the NBA excitement? Because I feel a little Schwartz-like because of this.
Well, you brought it up, so go ahead.
All right, so the Nets, if you are in New York, or maybe if you have the NBA League Pass and you've caught a Net home game on the YES Network, they do a segment called Where Brooklyn At, and the where is W-E-A-R, and it's fans wearing Brooklyn Net gear, and you do a hashtag Where Brooklyn At. So I promise you, I did not do this with any thoughts on getting on a broadcast because there was no games in sight. So it was like early June, I believe, and my daughter, because my sisters had bought all sports stuff and based it on the size that the teams would be in the playoffs with, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So hockey, my Ranger Net stuff was based on what age she was going to be in the spring, the Yankee stuff, what age she was going to be in the summer, and we have some more Giant stuff for the age, you know, the size she should be in the fall. So anyway.
Didn't you say in the playoffs? So when are the Giants making the playoffs?
No.
Are those like 8-year-old clothes?
I meant for the Rangers and the Nets.
But, I gotcha.
Yes. Point well taken. But obviously this happens and that plan goes out the window because there's no game. So I wanted to get her Net stuff in. Luckily she still actually fits in it, which is good news. So the beginning of June, I throw this on her and I just kind of, she was looking cute, you know, feeling cute, might delete later. I take a little picture of her and I just put the caption, Daddy, when do sports come back? Hashtag Where Brooklyn At, because that's just like a Net fan thing. All of a sudden, whoever runs the Nets on YES Instagram account yesterday contacts me. Hey, we'd love to use this. Are you okay with us using it? We need to know where you're from, you know, your daughter's name, this whole thing. And here I am. Okay, well, that's great. This, the Nets return. We're going to get my daughter. So I give them the whole rundown, and it appears as if she will be the subject of Where Brooklyn At for their opener. I believe tomorrow, unless they use it
tomorrow
on
afternoon,
the next game.
2:30.
Right, unless they use it on their game on Sunday. But I feel almost like we poked fun at Schwartz for the, hey, my kids would like to be in the XFL catalog. I did hashtag this, not thinking, A, I didn't even know at the time if the Nets would ever be on YES again this year. But here we are. So part of the NBA return is my daughter will be appearing. And my wife is furious, by the way. Furious, Bogus. Because.
Why?
Because I took the picture, my wife wasn't home, and she wasn't wearing her headband. My wife hates the bald look, and we've gone over this. How much with the bald baby, she needs the headband, she's a girl, I want to see her in the headband. So now, she thinks the whole world is going to see during the NBA restart here that my daughter is, you know, headbandless, and that's the picture that she's going to make her mark on her television debut, if you will. So she is furious with me. You shouldn't have answered them. Now they're going to put her on. Everybody's going to say, who's that ugly baby? I said, that's your daughter. She's not ugly. Will you relax? She needs a headband, Sean. You don't think? It became a whole thing yesterday. It really did.
Well, two things real quick. I feel like maybe you should be disqualified from Where Brooklyn At as a WFAN employee. Like normally when those shows have like contests, right? Like, you know, employees and their families are ineligible. Well, like maybe you shouldn't be taking a spot away from a regular Net fan since you're a celebrity professional Nets fan.
Well, I did mention, hey, you know, a part of the DA show on CBS Sports Radio, when they emailed me for all the info, I said, Ryan's a frequent guest of the show. Ian Eagle being the play-by-play announcer on YES for the Nets. He knows me. I gave him that whole thing. So they did follow up with, can we mention the show on the air? I said, absolutely, DA show, CBS Radio. So we're going to get a little show
Okay. All right.
I think. So I did. I didn't want to paint it that I was, you know, the regular guy, and then you guys crushed me for whatever. I put everything on the table. But again, they came to me. I was not expecting them to contact me for a picture that's 2 months old now. They came to me. So that's where we're at for the NBA race. Right off the bat, if you got the Nets on yes tomorrow, that's you're going to get a little of that. So,
and once again, things just turning up Shawnee. I mean, I don't know how many people are you know, hashtagging where Brooklyn at, but you do it on a whim out of nowhere in June, and you get picked. And the way, I mean, based off the caption, I mean, this might be the leadoff spot of where Brooklyn at tomorrow, because this game answers sweet little Taylor's question of, Daddy, when are sports back? They're right back now. And then Ian, if Ian's fully aware of who Taylor is and who you are and everything like that, like if they give him all this information, then we may get a good, you know, 2 minutes of a show plug. And now all of a sudden you're a conquering hero once again.
So let me
headband
just ask
or
this
not.
Quick straw poll to you and Bilal.
Yeah.
Is this a Schwartz move by me?
I will say that I don't think you can use the official hashtag of where Brooklyn at, like, not hoping that someone of important significance sees it. Now, is it as direct and shameless as the Schwartz begging and pleading for free stuff or the ability to scrounge for foul balls during BP at Citi Field? No, it's not that. But you can't do the proper protocol of tagging a picture with the hashtag and then be like, I didn't know I was going to get picked.
Protocol. All right, Bilotti, yes or no? Am I as bad as Pete?
You're not as bad as Pete, but it is under the definition of what we've killed him for.
All right.
Yeah.
Look, I got to be transparent here. I got to take my blows. We'll get the, if we have this, maybe we'll get the audio. If it happens, we'll play the audio on Monday. If there's a way to do that, we'll see. But we'll get DA to weigh in on the verdict on that. Now, as far as the actual NBA restart goes tonight, not tomorrow with the Nets, tonight we get Utah and the Pelicans, and obviously we get the Lakers and the Clippers. And there are a lot of people, if you're an NBA junkie, NBA fan, you're foaming at the mouth. I'm excited for all of these sports coming back personally. But I will say, Bogish, watching a lot of the NHL, and I know that, you know, NBA is way more popular than the NHL. I'm watching a lot of these scrimmages. Well, I've watched a ton of these NBA scrimmages. And obviously, I have been oversaturated, if that's even possible, with baseball over the last week. I think my takeaway from the three sports returning is, in my rankings, the NBA right now is the one I think I'm least excited for tonight, although I will be locked into both games. It's part of my job, and I'll be happy. And I am curious if, because now it's, you know, regular season action and it matters more, that I'll be hyped up to it. And I'm especially excited for Clippers and Lakers. But I'm not going to lie to you. I referenced this when the schedule came out, the restart schedule. This Utah-Pelicans game to start does nothing for me. Like, does nothing. Maybe Yankees and Nats didn't do anything for everybody in the country, and it mattered to me because I'm a Yankee fan. And maybe there'll be some NHL games for even casual fans. They're like, oh, this stinks. But I think there's a combination of things. Number one, the idea that we're jumping into an eight-game kind of regular season / seeding for, you know, the eight seed or whatever else. We're not getting right into elimination playoff style the way the NHL is. Or you're not starting a season fresh the way baseball did, where now it's a 60-game sprint and we've waited that long for opening day. We're kind of in this in-between zone in the NBA where we're starting, but we're picking up the season where we left off, but with a new schedule for eight games, and they don't really matter for another 2 weeks when we get to the playoffs. I think somewhere in that zone, the NBA restart, as much as I am excited, it falls kind of flat compared to the other sports tonight for me.
No, I mean, no doubt. Now, I understand why we're getting Pelicans Jazz, and Utah's probably like my pseudo-favorite NBA non-New York team right now. I just, like, the whole, I love Joe Ingles, the Gobert-Mitchell drama is intriguing to me, but on the court, they're just fun. So I've liked the Jazz all season long, and I get why Zion and the Pels are there. But in terms of, like, what we're about to start, I'm with you completely here. Like, I'm having a tough time getting pumped up for, like, the remains of the Nets and Wizards fighting for the last playoff spot in the East. And the way things lined up in the West, I mean, the top seven teams in the West are cut and clear. Now, they could reshuffle their order, but the gap from 7 to 8 in the West between Dallas and Memphis is 7 games. So, like, it's Memphis and the group behind them that they reconfigured to make sure that the Pelicans were in it. Like, I just, maybe I'll be wrong by this, but I don't know that that's going to draw me to my TV to watch the Blazers, Grizzlies, Pels, Kings, Spurs, and Suns battle it out for that, like, weird misfit 8-9 mini tournament too. So, and, like, if I was the other teams, like, I'm handling these eight games as, like, just something slightly more important than, like, an exhibition game. Depending on the way, you know, the way a game is going, like, LeBron might not play a fourth quarter, or Kawhi might get a day off. And I know no one wants to hear load management, but these games really don't matter when we're not fighting anymore for home court advantage. Obviously, some matchups you might want to avoid. But, like, I think that these eight games are more killing time than anything else. So I'll be geared up, ready to go when we get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we have actual playoff
yes.
games.
Yeah, so I'm with you. And, again, I'm excited for tonight because, just like it's a return, right?
It's
the NBA at TNT is going to package it well. You know there'll be some juice about it. I want to see, you know, how it looks with the game having more meaning than it did with the exhibition. So I'll be into it. I will be really into it. And, staying up late, we hate doing for a morning show. I will make, you know, every effort to make it through the end of Lakers-Clippers because that is a much more intriguing game. But I do want to come back to the Utah Pels game. Now, I do think the NBA deserves credit here, much like I think the NHL deserves credit in the fact that, and I think the MLB dropped the ball, the fact that, yes, while a lot of the country has returned to work, there is still a lot of the country and a lot of businesses that are working from home. There are a lot of camps all over the country where are closed and kids are home more during the day. There are a lot of people, frankly, still quarantining, and rightfully so, or people getting sick quarantining that are looking for something other than having to watch Tiger King for a 14th time on Netflix. So the idea that we're starting games earlier and getting a game at 6:30 as opposed to 7:30 or 8 to start the NBA tonight, I think is great. Getting a game starting at 2:30 in the afternoon tomorrow, I think is great, and they're going to do that throughout the week. NHL is getting games starting at noon during the week, and I think that's awesome because you're not also losing out on the prime time. You're still getting your night games as well. And I think covering all those bases and giving us games throughout the day, I think is the way to go with these sports. I think Major League Baseball dropped the major ball. So I'm happy that we get Pelicans and Jazz at 6:30 tonight. But, at 3:30 Pacific. Look, the NBA in the Zion eggs basket. Did that make sense? Rephrase that for me. All right, close enough. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The NBA, its biggest strength is their ability to promote superstars and make you locked into superstars playing. So their biggest strength, I think, to me, is coming back to bite them in that there's enough stars and, to me, enough juice in sports returning where all eyes are going to be on you that I don't need to be force-fed a Zion Williamson. First of all, I didn't need to be force-fed him in the bubble, but okay, we see him for 8 more games at least. I don't need him force-fed here at 6:30, my first game back. And if you're ripping up the schedule, you're giving us Lakers-Clippers tonight. I think that's an awesome, obviously, game. That's the potential Western Conference final that everybody wants to see. I could use Giannis and the Bucks taking on the Celtics. I could use the intrigue of the 76ers coming back. You know, maybe, you know, more East Coast game. Again, throw the Bucks in there. Heck, I could even use the Miami Heat, who were such a great story throughout the year. The idea that, and I know what you're saying, yes, Utah can be a fun, exciting team, and I do think there is a little cachet to the idea that this whole thing halted with Utah and Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, so maybe they play into, now we're going to restart with Utah. They're going to show us that we're back with these guys who have tested positive. I do think there's part of that, and we're going to put them against Zion Williamson. I just think ultimately when I'm looking from afar, all right, Zion, it's going to be nice to watch. Utah, kind of the ultimate team's team with some, you know, pretty good players. It just doesn't. For a non-playoff game, I think it falls flat for me. It really falls flat. And I think the NBA whiffed with this first matchup.
So I think they wanted to make sure they featured Zion early in a game that still technically matters since the road is long for everybody trying to catch eight in the West. Because you can't put, you know, you can't, I mean, and they still probably will, but like if you waited to really feature Zion in a standalone game, that game might be completely meaningless by the time we get to next week, depending on how things go. So you gotta put him out there. But you beat me to the Celtics Bucks is the obvious alternative here. Give me, and that's the premier ESPN game tomorrow. Give me Zion, the Pels, and the Jazz, which I don't, you know, as a matchup, I'm fine with. Give me that as the ESPN tip-off game tomorrow, but start me
right
today on opening day 2.0. Give me Celtics, Bucks, Eastern Conference heavyweights, and then we get Western Conference heavyweights and the Lakers and Clippers. That one made too much sense, but it is what it is. I mean, they always are going to default to the individual stars, and I mean, it's clear, and it should be, that this is where Zion is going to get almost the second nod now. LeBron will be first, and then Zion seems to be number two in the NBA hierarchy right now. The good thing is, Sean, he's at least delivered. When he's been healthy, when he's been around, he's been awesome. So hopefully now tonight he's got some legs underneath him and he can give you some minutes and at least keep this one entertaining for a while for you.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be the first one here on top of eating my egg whites, eating crow, if Zion Williamson throws on an absolute display and scores 50 points and is all over the place tonight, and it was the best game ever, then I will look like an idiot. But I do think in many ways the NBA whiffed with the first matchup we are getting. And that's your poll question today at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter, at Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Cap will whoop up some advanced analytics. The NBA returns, but did they whiff on their first matchup of Utah and the Pels? And frankly, and Andrew Kaplan brings this up in our G-Chat, is there anybody besides Andrew Bogut and his wife who loves Joe Ingles? Is there anybody? I love Joe Ingles. I mean, there's nobody. Nobody outside of anybody in Utah or you going tonight, honey, look, we got to have the chicken cutlets by 6 because at 6:30 Ingles takes the court and I got to be locked in tonight. There's nobody.
I have always had a soft spot for unathletic-looking guys being athletic, and Joe Ingles looks like a guy, aside from being as tall as he is, he looks like a guy that would be holding court in, like, your local, you know, your local gym. Like, in the, you know, he's the coolest guy in the gym basketball court, or he's the first one at the playground trying to stay on court all day long, yet here he is in the NBA shooting threes, rebounding, he's a great passer. I like that. Those are guys that I've always had a soft spot for, and Joe Ingles is my current guy on that list. And I've actually, this is not a lie, now I have not pulled the trigger on it yet, but I have been at the Jazz team store looking for like a Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey, but couldn't find it on that trip. I might have to go double back and get one for the restart here and really show my love for this guy.
Bogish, if Joe Ingles walked into the CBS Sports Radio newsroom tomorrow, I would absolutely think he was some new hire tape op that was going to give Bilotti a hard time by not submitting his days off on time. And you're searching the Jazz team store to get his t-shirt. I mean, come on, man, little grip here.
Dude, I love the Jazz uniforms. I've almost bought their yellow game shorts. I've almost pulled the trigger on those, too. That tells
game
you, they
shorts?
Are my... They're like my Western Conference team right now, yeah.
I can understand buying a shirt or jersey. You're going to buy the game shorts?
Well,
you
I did,
that guy
they're ridiculously
walking
expensive. No, even the knockoff ones are like $80, and I can't bring my... Even with like coupons, stuff like that, free shipping from Fanatics.com, couldn't bring myself to do it. But if money was not an issue, I'd have Jazz paraphernalia left and right over here.
Bro, I don't mean to make light of the mental health issue going on in this country, but the fact that you've now garnered enough coupons on Fanatics to research buying replica Utah yellow game shorts?
More than
I'm
once.
I'm starting to worry for you, bro.
If they ever go on sale, they're going to be mine. Now, I wanted to say, too, speaking of paraphernalia, your beautiful Nets throwback, this is like Drazen Petrovic era Nets logo t-shirt, is making the camera well at WatchDA.com. My basketball t-shirt isn't. I can't get... This happened last week with my Durham Bulls t-shirt. This is what I bought for actually the 4th of July this year. It says Dream Team 76, and it's George Washington and Abe Lincoln playing basketball. Now, there's a lot of historical inaccuracies there, plus basketball didn't exist in 1776. I mean, that might be the number one thing, as opposed to like who was alive and who wasn't in 1776. But I think the shirt's great, and I wore it today. This is my basketball shirt for opening day because
right,
I don't
Cap,
have my Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey.
One thing that I can't for the life of me figure out, the saga of Antonio Brown. I give this guy this much credit. For somebody who hasn't now played football in what is about to be, I guess, the second full year if he doesn't get signed of being out of things and missed week 17 the year before that, I guess that was 2018, Antonio Brown, weekly there's a story about him, which is almost remarkable. It really is. And he worked out with several players, and one team that he was linked to throughout this quarantine offseason has been the Baltimore Ravens. Why? Because he worked out a lot with Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson, obviously a young, budding superstar quarterback, as a matter of fact, and we can get to this in just a little bit, was voted number one in the top 100 players list by his peers, which, look, when Patrick Mahomes is at number four on that list, you might as well throw the whole list out because there's nobody on Patrick Mahomes' stratosphere, with all due respect to Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson voted number one. He obviously, was a league MVP, has to be feeling himself a little bit. His voice obviously carries more weight as he enters year three of his career. But Antonio Brown is a bad influence, is a guy who, with an abundance of talent, is fine. He at one point was the best receiver in the game. You can make the case that he's done enough to be a Hall of Famer. He still may have plenty in the tank because he came out with New England last year for a game. That's right. I forgot he even played a game last year. He did come play for New England and did score a touchdown. But, look, problems always follow him. Whether it was the Steelers locker room with, you know, can't wait to go to social media during post-game stuff, whether now more serious issues such as, you know, obviously the mishandlings of the way he's treated some women in his life, I think is the most delicate way to put it, in an investigation that's been ongoing, which is no telling if he could even play if he did sign with a team. Lamar Jackson's the type of toxic guy right now that if you're a young quarterback that is really coming into his own as a league MVP and a voice, you need to kind of distance yourself from. And if everything ends up checking out with Antonio Brown and he's cleared of the bad stuff he's accused of doing, and you feel like you're an Antonio Brown away from going to the Super Bowl and that's going to be the difference, I think then we can have that conversation. But just yesterday, Bogus, by the way, Antonio Brown, who did fake retire and then unretire already last week,
Lamar Jackson, like three times now in the last year, he has angrily said, "I'm not playing anymore," and then, I'm playing. I'm just kidding.
Right, and by the way, just not a guy you could trust off the field in the middle of quarantining and having to follow rules during Corona. Like, with all due respect to Antonio Brown, he hasn't shown me that that's the kind of reliable guy that's not going to come back, you know, do something stupid, end up catching Corona and spreading it to your locker room. I'm sorry, like, that's, like, the track record of Antonio Brown tells me that's the exact kind of guy that you'd worry about. But Lamar Jackson, who I think got way too much credit, oddly, because when he was working out early in this quarantine and working out with Antonio Brown, we were still really at the height of this thing. And maybe I'm blinded by this because I was in New York, where now it's calmed down while the rest of the country's really spiked, but it was bad here. People went, wow, look at Lamar Jackson. You know, there's no mini camps, there's no this. He's out there working, he's working hard with Antonio Brown. And I looked at Lamar Jackson and I said, what an idiot this guy is. He's thrown to a guy, he doesn't really even know Antonio Brown. He doesn't know where Antonio Brown's been. They're not really wearing masks. There's no distancing going on. And people were patting Lamar Jackson on the back while criticizing everybody else. And Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve credit here. Lamar Jackson is doing something pretty reckless with working out with Antonio Brown. But even if you don't feel that way, he said yesterday, it was nice throwing in Antonio Brown. I was hoping we would get him. I'm still hoping a little bit. What are we doing here, Bogus? What are we doing here? Like, I'm still hoping we get Antonio Brown. Lamar Jackson, as I said, I understand his voice holds more weight. Can you just stop talking about Antonio Brown? Even if you're asked about working out, just say, hey, it was good to see him. He's a great athlete. I hope he gets a chance. To pound the drum that you're still hoping publicly that you get Lamar Jackson, I mean, that you get Antonio Brown, I think is a spit in the face to your organization. It's a spit in the face to your wide receiver core. And it's something, another distraction that Harbaugh and the Ravens just don't need right now to keep getting asked about, and he's opening that door.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Jazz and Pelicans tipping off the NBA restart tonight. Zion Williamson back from his quarantine. Will he have a minutes restriction if he suits up tonight against Utah?
I can play the whole game. I'm just a hooper. Like, you know, I don't know nobody that's going to say, no, I can only play 10, 15 minutes. Nah, I'll play the whole game if I have to. I'm just a hooper.
Yeah, he better as one of the young guys in the NBA. And we'll get into this with Howard Beck, a Bleacher Report, next hour, Bogus. But you brought up the idea of Kawhi Leonard. if we've waited this long for the NBA and you have this 8-game reboot before the playoffs, if we're getting a lot of load management, I'm sorry, it's going to annoy me. It's going to tick me off. You're coming off all this time off. Go out there and play basketball.
Well, but you got to do. You got to be ready for the playoffs. So I think it's on the table. Is it likely? I don't know, but it's on the table, especially if we get, you know, to games 6, 7, and 8, that somebody gets a day off because things are locked in, or they, you know, they can't catch the guy in front of them. I think that's on the table, and I would do it if I was in those positions. I'm not getting Kawhi Leonard hurt in a seeding game so that I don't have him for a playoff game coming up down the road. Nick Markakis, his return to the Braves, so significant. You're going to hear from him twice this morning. Here he is on deciding again to get back on the field after initially saying he was not going to play this season.
We all make mistakes. You know, I'm not saying it's a mistake, but I think it's a mistake. We thought about it as a family, and we talked about it, and with all the safety protocols going on, you just got to be safe. And I'm going to go out here and try to win and help this team win as many ball games as we can.
So this is what I find really interesting, and we made a point, and we've hammered this home more than just today, that anybody who chooses to opt out of any of these leagues, I cannot fault them for it. It is however you feel about the virus. But, Bogus, as we know, when Nick Markakis opted out, it was as a result of talking to Freddie Freeman, who was fearing for his life with the fever. And since the baseball season has started, Freddie Freeman, who had that scary bout, has played, has looked awesome. The Braves look pretty good. And it just kind of feels like maybe Nick Markakis got really scared, which is totally understandable. And now he sees the guy that he talked to that led to him opting out raking with the Braves and being just fine after having the virus. You can't tell me that didn't play a part in this for Markakis.
Yeah, somebody give Nick Markakis a hug. It's okay. I understand why he made his decision to begin with, and I understand why he might be having some regret here. Luckily for him and the Braves, he's allowed to come back. It's not a one-time only thing. Now, should he keep going home and coming back? No, I mean, this is it. Like, now you're back. But I don't, I feel bad that he feels bad that he made a mistake in his initial decision, because if I called my buddy Freddie Freeman and we were constantly being told that these guys are athletes, they'll be fine, and Freddie Freeman had a 104 fever and was praying for his life, I would have stayed home too.
Yeah, and also, if I'm Major League Baseball, I don't know. I find a way to kind of make this a bigger talk topic. I don't know if that's a press release or something like this, because everybody has hounded Major League Baseball about shutting it down, as John Taffer would say, shut it down, after the whole Marlins situation. Here you have a guy who opted out of the season, who now, since this Marlins story, is opting back in the season. And that's something, if you're Major League Baseball and you're looking to spin the positive wheel, I think you should pump a little more time into. Zach Taylor, Bogus, Bengals head coach, says there's actually advantages to not having any preseason games this year?
There's a lot of advantages that we're finding right now. And just the way that we're going to be able to structure practices and create more scrimmage situations. You consider in a preseason game, maybe Joe Burrow wouldn't have gotten to play with a couple guys that you're holding out or you don't give any reps to, whereas you can protect those guys in a scrimmage that you control a little bit better.
I understand what Zach Taylor's saying there, but it seems like he's just looking for positives, and here's all you need to know. We've watched enough seasons of Hard Knocks, Bogus, to know how these head coaches try to sell the heck out of their locker room how important these preseason games are. This is your life. This is how we judge who's on this 53. The coaches do it every season. We watch the Hard Knocks behind the scenes. Now I got Zach Taylor telling me there's advantages. No, this is going to work out well. This is why preseason games aren't a big deal. All I'm asking from head coaches, just be consistent. Do you like them, or do you wish you didn't have them? Whatever you choose, that's fine with me, but be consistent.
Or give me a better argument for your initial statement, because the things he said, Sean, that are advantages, like Joe Burrow throwing to guys that he wouldn't throw to in a game, already exist before there were no preseason games.
Right.
He can throw to AJ Green all he wants during practice, whether there's a pandemic and a shutdown or not. It has nothing to do with the games or not the games. Get back to me after the train wreck that might be week one, when all of these teams who have seen nobody else except themselves get on the field and it counts. And if Joe Burrow's throwing three picks because he's facing an actually good secondary for the first time and tricky defense and competition, get back to me then about the advantages of no preseason games.
Yeah, and remember, last year was Matt Nagy, who didn't play any of his starters in the preseason, and already in March and April was talking about, no, that needs to change. These guys need to play preseason games. So it seems pretty evident to me that these head coaches who chose to try to go down this road already started regretting it. So, yes, I know preseason games can be very boring. scoring on TV, and I know they may not be everybody's cup of tea, but and maybe four is too many, but ultimately you can't ever tell me that preseason games don't have some value to these head coaches, if not a lot of value, and I do think as a result we will get some very clunky football come September, and that is your soundcheck, Bogus. Lakers, Clippers, I could sink my teeth into tonight in a big way. Obviously, this is, you know, two teams that we probably expect to end up in the Western Conference Final, although in 2020, it shouldn't shock anybody if anything happens here coming up. But this is a big deal. And I will say this, LeBron having won a title with obviously Cleveland and obviously Miami, to be able to try to win a title with a third franchise, it's pretty unique. It's pretty crazy, especially to be the face of it. We've seen LeBron at his peak. We've seen LeBron do superhuman things. But because the Lakers didn't make the playoffs last year, and because we've gone through a whole spring without basketball, it's been a really long time since we've seen really important LeBron James games, which is kind of crazy. And LeBron is going to continue to get older here. We've passed the peak of his career, but he's still more than capable of being an MVP. And Bogish, I would say this. LeBron in a bubble, yes, you'd like to see him in Staples Center with celebrities sitting front row and obviously the aura of what could have been this postseason with, you know, Kobe's jersey hanging in the rafters and everything that happened. We don't get that. But to have this much time off, remember, he didn't play the deep playoff rounds of last year like we see every year. Then he has kind of a shortened season. And now, again, all this time off in the pandemic to come back here and have an 8-game, basically, light sprint to a postseason, I really feel like I don't think it's going out on a limb. We might see the best LeBron James for the next 2.5 months that we have ever seen, just because how much fresher can he be and how much more motivated can he be, you know, living amongst all the teams he's playing in a bubble, seeing these guys all the time, and also he's self-aware to know that he's not getting any younger. I think there's a good chance starting tonight and up until October 7th or whenever the NBA Finals are, if the Lakers happen to make it there, we will see the best LeBron James we have ever seen in his career, and I think the best LeBron James that we will ever see. I think this will be the peak of when we look back at LeBron. You're going to remember the Cleveland title and everything. I don't think we will ever be able to witness this LeBron again past this year. So I am looking forward the most to LeBron James in the next 2.5 months because of how fresh he should be.
So we can see the best LeBron that's possible in 2020 because he's fresh, but he's not young. And those miles are still there on that NBA body. So I don't know if he could be the best LeBron ever, but he could be 100% of current LeBron. And this is one of the, and it was not a deep thought, but I've said it from going back to the last fall leading into this season, the worst news for the NBA, the rest of the NBA, was LeBron's shortened previous season, because now he was rested and he was motivated, and now you sprinkle in this second little mini hiatus and he is geared up, ready to go. And while he may not clearly be peak LeBron, I still think he has the ability to be a singular difference maker in any series. Everything is different when he is at full strength, and he's at, as far as we know, full strength right now. So I've always thought the Clippers were the best team on paper in the NBA, and that still might be the case, but after we see these seeding games and see a round or two of the postseason, I might tell you that the Lakers are going to beat them if they see themselves head-to-head when we get to whatever that would be, August or September.
I agree. I cannot wait. And look, and honestly, the same could probably be said for Kawhi Leonard, because remember, we saw him do superhuman things in Toronto last year.
Absolutely.
Off plenty of games off in the regular season, but this is just such a unique opportunity for LeBron to have not had the mileage of last year's postseason, then to play on a really good Laker team, and then get these 4 months off, although there was always reports of them with the secret practices and whatnot, but the beatings and constant pounding on LeBron aren't there, that I expect him to basically jump out the gym. And I would say this, if you're a fan of LeBron and you're a fan of the comparisons and everything like this, even if what Bogus is saying is right, and maybe I'm over-exaggerating that we'll see the best LeBron ever, even if we've already seen the best LeBron ever, I could promise you this. You won't get a better version of LeBron after this run than you will get in this bubble. I think this is the not that you can't even win more titles, but this is the last greatest LeBron we will see, in my opinion, because of all the variables adding up and all the freshness. That's where I lie with that.
By the way, I saw him the other day, and it was annoying. I'm sure other people were even more annoyed by it than I was, but he was sitting on a throne doing his, like, post-game media availability, and I, you know, whatever. Spare me that kind of stuff. But I do – I need to get a glimpse. I need to see what LeBron's hotel setup is because there's no way he's in a run-of-the-mill room. So he's got to be in one of the fancier – there would normally be a butler. I mean, he's got, but like, did they do, because I wouldn't put it past him either to have like almost like that rock star list of like requirements. Like, that's got to be whatever it was, as high end as it was to begin with. Like, that's got to be souped up even on top of that, right? Like, there's the LeBron people are forwarding a list of requests. Like, this has to be in LeBron's room, right?
He definitely has a suite with definitely some extra stuff, whether that be extra TV channels or, I mean, there's only so much you could do.
Does he have a tunnel to the outside?
Right. His own personal chef maybe up there through the kitchen?
Well, I think that is true. I think we know that, which is why it was included in the agreement, was that you can pay for somebody to come cook for you. And there's that screams him, no doubt.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We asked this morning after Bogish had admittance that online he's been looking for Utah Jazz replica shorts, and then he ended up breaking out fake hockey shorts and fake net shorts. Not jerseys, not team short, not team shirts. Not hats. We're talking about shorts, folks. Would you ever buy replica NBA team shorts? Twitter, 20% join Andrew Bogish with yes. No, a resounding 80% on Twitter think Bogish is a loser. Facebook, even worse numbers to support Bogish's case. 18% of the people on Facebook to find folks who listen to the show say yes, while 82% is saying no. And again, Bogish, loser. Here's some facts that our analytics team dug up. A Michael Jordan game-worn uniform from 1996 to 1997 championship season recently sold at an auction for $288,000. Okay, but that's Michael Jordan and he actually wore it. That's still a lot of money. And again, you know what? If you're one of these people that bids thousands of that, like that much money, you got way too much money. A pair of Joe Ingles game-used white shorts from the 2017-18 season, one that Bogus would love to have. They're available right now, Bogish, right now. $199 on eBay. Think about it. One less night on the Jersey Shore, it's a drop in the bucket for you. Go buy those English shorts.
Yeah, see, I need to defend myself here again because you have taken this and completely bastardized my affection for Joe Ingles. I don't want to be Joe for Halloween. I'm not going to go to whatever they call the arena in Salt Lake now in full Joe Ingles gear. What I have thought about buying was a Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey, of which you have many of, by the way. So yes. You can't throw any stones in that regard. And some of them are completely unacceptable that you own.
Many of them.
I know there's some
opening
of them
up a
given
closet
to
right
you.
Now.
Right. So you've got plenty of these. If I have one, you can't hold it against me. And the shorts that I wanted that I have yet to buy, the Utah Jazz 2019-20 Statement Edition Swingman shorts in gold, by the way. Beautiful. But they're $80. And here's again the problem. I go to the website and it says use code SCOOPS for up to 70% off site-wide. Oh, maybe today's my day. I pick the shorts. I put them in my cart. I go to checkout. I put in SCOOPS. We are unable to apply a discount to your order because your items are excluded from this promotion. So I'm back at square one. My love for the Jazz and Joe Ingles has bounds. I am not spending $80 on Utah Jazz shorts.
But $199 and knowing that Joe Ingles' boys could be where your boys are, that's a fantastic investment.
The problem is Joe Ingles, I think, is almost 7 feet tall, so his boys and my boys, I don't know, would line up correctly in those shorts, right? Like, there'd be
a
lot of sag to where his were and mine would be in that scenario. And really, the goal at this point, Sean, is to have Joe hear this, be made aware of it, and send me shorts because now we're friends.
We might be able to make that happen. And Bogus' love for Inglis and his shorts, that's today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Is there anybody besides Andrew Bogut and his wife who loves Joe England? There's
Listen,
nobody.
I have always had a soft spot for unathletic-looking guys being athletic, and Joe Ingles looks like a guy, aside from being as tall as he is, he looks like a guy that would be holding court in, like, your local, you know, your local gym.
Let it rain!
He's the coolest guy in the gym basketball court, or he's the first one at the playground trying to stay on court all day long. Yet here he is in the NBA shooting threes, rebounding. He's a great passer. Those are guys that I've always had a soft spot for, and Joe Ingles is my current guy on that list. And I've actually, this is not a lie, now I have not pulled the trigger on it yet, but I have been at the Jazz team store looking for like a Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey, but couldn't find it on that trip.
I had nothing to do with it.
I might have to go double back and get one for the restart here and really show my love for this guy.
You've got to come back with me!
Bogut, if Joe Ingles walked into the CBS Sports Radio newsroom tomorrow, I would absolutely think he was some new hire tape op that was going to give Bilotti a hard time by not submitting his days off on time. And you're searching the Jazz team store to get his t-shirt. I mean, come on, man, have a little grip here.
Losing his mind.
Dude, I love the Jazz uniforms. I've almost bought their yellow game shorts. I've almost pulled the trigger on those, too. I'm telling
game
you, they
shorts.
Are my...
Playoffs?
They're like my Western Conference team right now, yeah.
I can understand buying a shirt or jersey. You're going to buy the game shorts?
Well,
you
I did, because they're ridiculously expensive. No, even the knockoff ones are like $80, and I can't bring my... Even with like coupons, stuff like that, free shipping from Fanatics.com, couldn't bring myself to do it. But if money was not an issue, I'd have Jazz paraphernalia left and right over here.
Pepper needs new shorts!
Bro, I don't mean to make light of the mental health issue going on in this... In this but the fact that you've now garnered enough coupons on Fanatics to research buying replica Utah yellow game shorts...
More than
I'm
once.
I'm starting to worry for you, bro. I am starting to worry.
If they ever go on sale, they're going to be mine.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I'm starting to picture Bogut basically in Celtic Pride 2 just kidnapping Joe Ingles to take him and have him sit in his room there where he does the show, have the landscapers come, wave at Joe, and just Joe be held hostage, and he's out of the NBA bubble, getting Lou Williams' wings shipped into Franklin Square in a Bogut. There'll be a whole thing. A whole thing. His love is very unaffectionate. Well, I don't know about you, Bogut, but my night has changed. I was excited for the NBA. Now they're just glorified exhibition, so I guess I'm back to baseball on TV tonight.
Sporting KC in Philadelphia Union, 8 o'clock. Can't wait.
Where's your focus lie tonight on TV?
Well, I mean, it's still the NBA's back. I'm gonna pay attention to it. I was never committed to being up as late as you were, so that's where your change is. It's not where mine is. I was already hoping just to see the beginning of Lakers-Clippers, so that probably is still the case for me.
We'll break it all down tomorrow. The NBA is back tonight. Bogut, pleasure again, as always. Tomorrow morning, I'll see you, brother.
All right, Tony, have a good day.
Thanks to Pete Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch, Ian James, Baccioni. Howard Beck is our guest as well. Baccioni, the executive producer today. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.